Toyota salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, here we go on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, presented by Insperity HR. That makes a difference. Nice to have you aboard as we give you the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Charlie, great to be with you on this Saturday morning.
Once again, we're here to talk golf. We got a special guest coming aboard, Steve Elkington, that is going to share his, you know, he won the Players Championship twice in his career. He won a major PGA, so he's going to be interesting. He always is. He definitely has his opinions. And we got a lot of golf. I mean, golf is headed towards April. April's not too far away. We know what that means, so and you're going.
Yeah, Valspar Championship next week, which I'm looking forward to down there at Innisbrook. Looking forward to Steve Elkington today. A nice mix of Aussies in contention at the Players. Minwoo Lee, Jason Day, Ryan Fox, Cameron Davis. My apologies. And then, of course, Charlie, the defending champion, Cam Smith, is not present this week due to the suspension. So
Would you call him a traitor?
I would not. I would not call him a traitor. There's players on tour that would. We're going to get to that today. But I would not call Cam Smith, Dustin Johnson. You know, those two guys, I don't think they've said anything, you know, negative about the PGA Tour on their way out. When I think of Poulter.
Some of them have.
Oh, yeah. When I think of a Poulter or a Westwood or a Garcia, you know, I think of that as being a little bit of a traitor. These guys made $50-plus million on tour and now saying that that's a terrible thing.
Terrible.
But I haven't heard Cam Smith or Dustin Johnson do any of that. So I would not refer to them as traitors. Would you?
I don't know. I have loyalty is one of the things that I really bank on. You know, be loyal. And, you know, the PGA Tour really treated them nicely. Gave them a place to play.
If you were Jay Monahan right now and I asked you, what player do you need back from LIV at this moment, who would it be?
None of them.
Yeah.
They're gone. We got new guys showing up.
1-800-224-2004 is the number. We'll begin touching on Kurt Kitayama's unlikely win at Bay Hill last week. He moved up to world number 19. Number two, of course, Charlie noted at 8:15, two-time Players Champion and PGA Champion. Steve Elkington will join us. Of course, Steve won the 95 PGA at Riviera. He'll give us a past champion's feel on the weekend at the Players and give us a little bit of a different perspective on the current state of golf. Charlie, University of Houston legend. 10-time PGA Tour winner, now hosts the Secret Golf Podcast. He's been doing that for a pretty long time.
Yeah, Steve likes to share his knowledge, and he studied the game. He really did, and you know, he played 600-plus tournaments during his career. How many holes does that represent?
Over 71,000.
You know, think about that. And so when he got through with his career, he really wasn't motivated to go to the Senior Tour. He wanted to delve in more about the golf swing, and we'll get a little of his take on that. But he's a fascinating guy.
You know, great weekend ahead of us at the Players. Charlie, I mean, you know, Thursday, the weather was perfect. 21 players don't finish. You know, yesterday afternoon, the weather was a mess. As far as where the PGA Tour goes, you know, with cutting down fields to 80 players, as we talked about last week, it's starting to look like maybe it's not a bad deal.
Well, trying to get 156 players around that golf course is impossible, even with perfect weather. There weren't any rain delays or anything like that. So, you know, the tour wants to work and be more efficient. And when you have 80 players to take care of, it's a lot easier than 158 players. So they got to reach a compromise. And they have other places for these guys to play, but we'll get into that a little later, too.
Yeah, Adam Svensson, the Canadian, leads the way at 9-under, shot 5-under in the second round. Scotty Scheffler chasing in second at 7-under. He's just wrapping up his second round at the moment. Ben Griffin and Minwoo Lee, the Aussie, tied in third with Christian Bezuidenhout and Colin Morikawa. Charlie, when you know, this tournament of players, it's considered the fifth major at TPC Sawgrass. How did that come about?
Well, it came about, it was Dean Beaman, who was the tour commissioner back in the 70s, and he understood golf. He was a professional himself, and he liked stadium golf. He wanted to be able to really have a lot of good sight views for the gallery. So he bought this property for $1. It was a swamp. And then he had it molded in to what created, on the sides, the public can stand there and see the golfers play in around the green complexes. Got great sight lines to see it. So that it grew from there, and they have worked this tournament into something else. They're going to give away $4.5 million to number one. It's a $25 million tournament. This is the new economics of the PGA Tour. How much goes to charity, I don't know, but I hope they continue that tradition, because they said, $2 billion in charity and still growing. So that's a question in my mind that they've got to really publicize. So it's going to be a great weekend, a lot of excitement, a lot of funny shots are going to be had. The famous 17th hole, should play it in a rowboat.
Yeah, 28 balls in the water after round one. We'll see the totals after round two. Charlie, is it that hard of a hole? It's the first day it was playing 125 yards.
Intimidating. It's unbelievable with that. There's not that much room to miss, and you're trying to be precise to that front pin placement, and you miss it by a yard. And so you got to try to knock it. It messes with your mind, and that's what a good architect wants a golf course to do.
18 does the same too. I mean, water left, you miss right. That second shot is no walk in the park. You remember Keegan Bradley had an excellent chance to win this golf tournament on the 18th hole last year. Winged his drive in the trees right. Tried to hit a little hook up there, and it funnels right in the water there on 18, Charlie.
Yes, it does.
Steve Elkington won this golf tournament chipping in on 18.
That's it.
At 97, the second time around. Looking forward to talking to Steve a little bit later on. Great story. I think story of the week in the top five. I know everyone's interested to hear about Colin Morikawa and Scotty Scheffler. This kid, Ben Griffin, who's at 6-under, T3, Charlie, he came out of North Carolina 3 years ago. Gets status on Korn Ferry Tour and PGA Tour Canada, plays 1 year, quits, starts working a finance job for a year, comes back, says, I've had enough, quits, comes back, gets his card last year from the Korn Ferry Tour, watched him around the Houston Open where he finished 16th, hits these pure little butter cuts out there. Not a bomber, yeah. but very solid, very straight. And he started the Florida swing with a couple top 20s at the Honda and the Arnold Palmer.
And it's a shame. Yesterday's round, he finished with a double bogey on 18, but he's still in position at 6-under par to really build his career in one weekend.
And I think my point to sharing that is, when you look at the comparisons, yeah, between these different tours, the PGA Tour is this ecosystem where you can still play your way on easily, even with the elevated events. Good right. golf gets you to the top. That doesn't speak the truth to the Invitational Live Series. That's not the case over there.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a mix of different things, different sponsors, different events. And so I think it's been very successful. The proof's in the pudding. Look where they are today.
Yeah.
Playing for $25 million in one tournament.
All members get $500K to start the year. It's a big change.
How much do you get guaranteed?
If you're a Korn Ferry Tour or PGA Tour member.
You as a journalist on the PGA Tour.
I'm not going to comment on that. Adam Svensson leads the way at 9 under. Scotty Scheffler in second at 7 under. Scheffler, solid start to the year, Charlie. This is a guy who, you know, coming up will be defending his title at the Masters. Your thoughts on Scheffler here over the past couple of weeks?
He's wonderful. He's in every way. He great junior kid, great junior record. Came on, you know, won the national championship. No, he didn't win the national championship at Texas, but he played at Texas, college star, and now he has come on tour and he came on and got to number one.
Yeah, he did.
Out of college.
You know, it's amazing that he defended his title in Phoenix about a month ago. Almost did it at the Arnold Palmer Invitational last week. Kitayama obviously had other plans for that. Kitayama, you know, this guy, you know,
that was an incredible victory.
You know, you look back to last year, he loses the Scottish Open to Xander in kind of a tough fashion, and then you know the CJ Cup where Rory won in the fall. He couldn't finish it off there. And to see him take down the leaderboard that he did, I mean, Scheffler, Spieth, Rory, they were all there.
Perseverance. And he traveled the world. If you check out his resume so far in the last 3 years, he has gone everywhere to be able to play, from South Africa to Southeast Asia. I mean, everywhere. And so my hat's off to the young man to make 2 sevens on the weekend, hit 2 balls out of bounds.
Triple number 9 in the final round.
Yeah, yeah. And that, you talk about mentally prepared. He was called the project in college. And all the guys at Pepperdine, was it? Yeah, he was at Pepperdine. So we'll check more with him. But that was quite a victory, and my hat's off to him.
Yeah, first player since Robert Gomez in 1990 to win his tournament debut, Charlie. Remember Robert Gomez?
Yeah. That's another topic for another day.
We'll get to that on the other side right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. We'll have Steve Elkington on the other side, 2-time players champion. Don't go anywhere.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 Houston, brought to you by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Great to have you aboard as we break down the latest in golf. We now head to the Progressive Guest Line and welcome in 2-time Players Champion in 1995, PGA Champion Steve Elkington. He hosts the Secret Golf Podcast, and we're lucky enough to have him joining us today. Steve, great to have you aboard with Charlie and I.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Elk, we're just wonderful. Thanks for coming on and talking golf like you know how to do. And, you know, you won this event twice. And I call you Logo because the logo of the PGA sure does look like your finish.
Well, Dean Beeman back there used to like my swing, and of course, I don't get any credit for that logo, but they tell me that they've changed it about 50 times, you know. But a lot of people know that probably is my silhouette, you know, finish.
We know a lot has transpired over the last year in golf, professional golf, and you've retired. You played 600 tournaments in your career on the PGA Tour. You've played 70,000 holes of golf, so you're probably sick of it. But tell me about what LIV has brought to the game, and where you stand with that going on, and Greg Norman doing what he's doing.
Well, it's so volatile talking about LIV. You know, that here comes this product that, you know, has offered these guys a bunch of money to play golf around the world. You know, a lot of my friends are on it. You know, Cam Smith, Mark Leishman, Jason Kokrak, Pat Perez, a lot of these guys that I know. And, you know, I was telling someone yesterday, I think the Masters this year is going to tell us sort of everything we need to know, meaning that this will be the first time that, you know, the tour and the LIV golfers are together. And the question will be from us, the fans, is, hey, is this a good product, or you feel turned off by this, or is this going to work, and does this make better viewing, et cetera? And I think, you know, now that the majors have let them play, I think we're going to have to wait and see how that's perceived. But, like, it's hard for me with friends with all these guys to put a stance on it either way, to answer your question.
Well, you really can't fault a guy that makes golf his career and offered an incredible amount of money, and he can put his family in secure positions. And golf is, when you're a professional, it's all about making money. So the money problem is a problem. I think it's just the way that Greg has gone about it and being the bully and thinking that the PGA Tour is just going to move aside to let him have his day and build a product on the coattails of the PGA Tour.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's only, you know, he's probably the only guy that could have even attempted to do this, because he does have that, you know, that attitude towards this product, you know. But, for example, these guys are going to Australia soon. They're playing in Adelaide. There's going to be, I think they've sold 100,000 tickets for that tournament. And, you know, you listen to Tiger Woods at the Genesis recently saying, hey, you know, our best players have got to know that they've got to go play all over the world. And I was thinking when he said that, I'm like, what's he talking about? PGA Tour doesn't play all over the world. So are we going to see the tour now, you know, move over and play like in Spain, for example? I know John Rahm has said, we need to play an event in Spain. Will they go to Australia and play? Will it change this product? I don't know. We're going to find out, but it's really odd. As you know, when Tiger says something, it usually means a lot, right?
Oh, yeah, it sure does. But now, you were a great player, Steve. Not only, you know, you came here as a young boy. You went to University of Houston. You had a distinguished collegiate career. You and Billy Ray Brown, and won the national championships. And then you went on to a very successful tour career, and this week, this tournament, what makes this golf course so special, and why it embarrasses some of the people? And a ball striker like you, most of the guys can't make the cut. You win it twice.
Well, Pete Dye, you know, is a really interesting guy. I got to know him, you know, during my career. I finished up helping him, you know, co-designing the course in New Orleans. But when you play a Pete Dye course, if you're out there listening to this and you get on a Pete Dye course, the first thing that Dye tries to do to you is he tries to get in your face, right in your face on the tee, and shows you a bunch of trouble. And there's no more hole than, say, number 18 is what we're watching this week at TPC. He put that bulkhead right down the middle of the fairway, it appears to you. And what's the first thing you want to do? Makes you want to go to the right. But to understand a Pete Dye course, you know, you've got to take on the trouble. But Pete always says, hey, I don't design hard courses. I make them look hard. But I don't quite believe that from Pete, because they are hard. But, you know, this tournament, Charlie, you know, is pretty – I was just watching the end of it now. They got Svensson at 9, Scheffler at 7, Morikawa at, you know, 5 or so. You know, it's very difficult – you know, this tournament is shaping up to be a Scheffler favorite from here, with a bunch of young guys, and Morikawa right there, who's not putting very well. But it's hard to be aggressive on this course, Charlie. You know, as you know, you've been there many times. You've got to thread the needle on all these holes. And you know, the first day on this tournament, the lead was 8 under, and now the lead is 9. So everything went backwards yesterday. So very difficult to be aggressive when you have the lead in this tournament.
Steve, you have two younger Aussies in contention at this golf tournament. Cam Davis, who's a PGA Tour winner. Minwoo Lee, of course, won the Scottish a couple years ago. What are your thoughts about the carousel of talent coming out of Australia at the moment?
Good. Minwoo Lee is a new player that's coming on the scene. It's going to be another one of these top players. Cam Davis, as you said, super talented. You know, either one of those guys could win this week. I mean, in 1991, I was a young guy. I bet this scoreboard looked very similar in 1991 when I was at the cut, because Fuzzy Zeller and Paul Azinger and all these guys are up top, Greg Norman, Nick Price, they were all ahead of me. And I played a great weekend and shot 68 on Sunday and won the tournament. So, which is a big game changer, as Charlie knows. You know, back then it was a 10-year exemption on the tour. Now it's 5, but, you know, anyone right now that gets a 5-year exemption on this tour with this kind of money they're playing for and all these special events they're going to play next year, this tournament, yes, is $4.5 million to win it. But if you win this tournament and you're a young guy, Charlie, I'm saying it's another $2 or $3 million a year just because you're going to be in all these special events with no cut going forward.
It's unbelievable. And you mentioned no cuts. And when you came on tour, the cut, you know, 72 holes, you cut half the field and you don't make any money. What do you think about what they're talking about, all these, you know, no cut tournaments?
Well, it's obvious to me, being a tour member, what the tour is doing, right? It's obvious that they've said, hey, they've all got in a room and they said, we've got to stop anyone else from leaving this tour. And we've got to get all this money to these best players, right? So they've said, we're going to play, you know, we're going to play 5 or 6 or 7 of these or 8 of these no-cut events, which is going to guarantee all these top players $100,000 every week they play. And that's going to probably put a tourniquet on them not leaving. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of unhappiness in there. And I'll tell you why. You know, if you make it into the top 70 and you get all these events, can you imagine being like the 72nd guy? I mean, the difference between a guy that's 72nd on the money list and a guy that's, say, 68, it's one stroke over the course of the year. And you're telling me that the guy 72nd or 71st on the money list is not going to get a crack at 8 other tournaments, you know, for with no cut? I mean, it's an incredible ballsy move by the tour, but they've got to stop, you know, and they've got to stop anyone from leaving. And also, it's a ballsy move because all these sponsors are like, hey, we don't know if we want to sponsor your tournament for $20 million. You know, you've lost 30 players, and you're telling me I got to put in 10 more million. And so it's not easy. So the tour had to do something, and this is what they've come up with. I don't know, Charlie. I think I don't like no cut events in the big events. Yeah. I mean, you got to have a cut. I mean, McIlroy's missed here. You know, Rahm withdrew. There's a bunch of guys that have missed the cut this week. That's not the story. The story is the top of the leaderboard every week.
Well, Steve, I appreciate you getting up early in the morning. Although I know you've been tending to your flowers this morning, and just before we leave, who's going to win this weekend? We got about a minute.
It's going to be 15 seconds. Scheffler, because he has so much experience. But you know, honestly, I'd like to see some of these young guys step in there. Svensson, I'm looking at the board up there. You named a couple: Cam Davis, this Ramey kid, Minwoo Lee, Ben Griffin. There's a bunch.
Thanks a lot.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, 30 minutes past right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston, presented by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. 224-2004 is the number. Before we get rolling on more golf talk, Charlie, how about a quick word from our friends over at Insperity, an HR company that is helping businesses grow so communities can prosper.
Doing business today is very difficult. With all what's going on in the world, with all what's going on in our country and regulations and this, that, and the other, if you have a small business, sometimes you need an extra club in your bag. And that extra club can be Insperity, a company that really specializes in helping small businesses grow. Their motto is helping business succeed so communities can prosper. So if you have some HR problems that you need help with, if you have some questions on how to grow your business, and you can let the minutia being taken care of by Insperity, give Insperity a call. Insperity, since 1986, has gone from zero to $6 billion. And the reason why is because they know how to treat their customers and they know how to treat their employees. Last year, they gave 38,000 hours in the Houston community to help charities. That's Insperity is all about, helping our society. So if you're in the market and you want some help, give Insperity a call. Insperity.com, a company that knows how to treat its employees and its partners.
You know, there's been a battle going on at World Number One between John Rahm, between Rory McIlroy, and between Scottie Scheffler. This week, two of those three players will not see the weekend. You know, Rory, you know, has been struggling the last 2 weeks, particularly on the greens, Charlie, and of course, Rahm is sick. But let's start with Rory.
Well, Rory's made the mistake, but he's protecting his business of getting involved in the politics of the game. And so that just going to have distractions. Every time he's on the putting green, one of the guys are going to come up and ask him a question. One of the guys are going to ask him about this, that, and the other. And he's not focused on his game. And you can see that. He's been playing very well for the last 2 years. And he was set to have, a great year.
Tour championship, CJ Cup. Playing extremely well going into the spring, Charlie.
And then going, you know, for the majors. So he's given back to his profession. My hat's off to him, but it's hurting his golf game.
In the spring, at the end of last season and into the fall, you know, he added Brad Faxon, putting coach, to his team. Brad was obviously a great player, as you know, short game guru. But, you know, and his performance at the Tour Championship, his performance at the CJ Cup, he was putting well enough to you're kind of thinking, Charlie, this could be the year at Augusta. You know, he could be finding something with the putter. I know he's always been a good putter, but that's ultimately what's haunted him the last 10 years.
It sure has. And that you know, like this golf course here is very demanding, and he has that sometimes that ball.
That foul ball
that you got to play in golf. So
was that 2010 when he snapped it off the world left on 10?
Tell me about it. I was right there with Uncle, and Uncle went in the lead. So, yeah, that was it. 2010.
Were they in the same group?
Yes.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that was, you know, Uncle's great record at Augusta. But having said that, talking about Rory, maybe he might show up at Augusta and he'd be so distracted he'll play good. I don't know.
Yeah.
But chances are that he won't.
We'll see. 9 to 10 to 1 odds right now for Rory at Augusta. Okay, moving on to Rahm, World Number One. This guy, you know, has won, what, four of his last seven events now. You know, got sick after the first round, was one under, Charlie, was tied for 27th. You know, I guess he wasn't interested in pulling off the Jordan flu game, or it was just so bad. He must have eaten at Graham McDowell's restaurant down the street in Ponte Vedra.
You're cruel. But, you know, John's a big husky guy, and I'm sure he enjoys a good meal, but he got a little food poisoning, it looks like, and it's unfortunate, and he had to withdraw. I thought he was going to have a chance to win this week, but ever since he won his last one, his ability to close the deal has gone south. So I don't know what's wrong. Maybe they'll come out with an announcement on really what happened.
Yeah, no, I mean, hope, you know, I guess hoping for the best that it's just a bad meal and he gets over it. I guess he'll have a few weeks off until the Dell match play here in a couple weeks. He won't play Valspar. But Valspar is a very good field next week. Spieth, JT, a couple other guys are going to be there as well.
What are you doing next week?
Well, I'm doing editorial content for the tour, and then there'll be a couple Insperity players, players that are represented by Insperity, sponsored by Insperity. Cole Hammer, Jimmy Walker, a couple other guys. So doing a couple interviews there for Insperity, and then also doing some editorial stuff for PGA Tour. So a little bit of both, Charlie. A little bit of both.
It's great to be Will.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's great to be Charlie Epps, isn't it? Isn't that right?
No, I'm giving you a hard time. You're going to go over there and have a good time.
I'm excited. So it's at Innisbrook, a place you've been to a lot, and I played, you know, I grew up going to high school in Florida, and I was right down the street from the Copperhead course. So they'd have Innisbrook would have an Easter Junior Golf Tournament, and then they would have an AJGA event at the Copperhead course. So a lot of experience there. You know, a lot of these events that I'm going to, it's my first time seeing the golf course. You know how that is. This will feel a little bit more like a home game to me. I've got plenty of friends still living in Tampa.
What's so the lowest score you shot on the Copperhead?
74, Charlie.
74.
It's like PGA National. My low at PGA National in eight rounds was 75. I mean, it just seemed like there's one or two holes. Same with Copperhead, where you can just make a snowman.
Yeah, but as a junior, that's really good.
Speaking of junior golf.
Yes, sir.
Don't let me forget.
Yes.
Your grandson, big announcement.
He has committed. Charlie Wiley has committed to play golf at SMU. It's really quite an achievement by this young man. He committed as a junior. The golf coaches are getting aggressive and watching these young men. And
He's only a junior, isn't he?
But he'll complete his senior year at Memorial High School. He's still got to do that. It's very exciting. The Wiley family and the Epps family are really proud of him, and we'll see what happens. But he's going to a great school. SMU is one of the great schools in Texas, and so you get a good education and get to play golf.
And kudos to you for the foundation you built within his game, Charlie. I mean, I'm sure you remember the first time you handed him a club.
I sure do. You know, it was almost when it was just came out of the womb. But we've had a great time with him, and he's gone on to really be a hard worker. And he's focused, and he had a great career as a second baseman, and now he's playing golf.
Played in the Little League World Series there in Williamsport.
Little League World Series, yes.
So shifting to the other side of the game, end of careers, Padraic Harrington the late Tom Weisskopf inducted into the Hall of Fame this week. Charlie, a couple thoughts there.
They're two great gentlemen. Padraic Harrington won three major championships, two British Opens, the PGA, distinguished career, hard worker, playing very successfully on the Champions Tour. Tom Weisskopf was a contemporary of Jack Nicklaus, and it's hard to win a lot of majors when you're playing Jack Nicklaus, but Tom was an interesting guy. He talented, he 6'4", beautiful golf swing, could hit the ball a mile. He just would go off the deep end every now and mentally. But my hat's off to him. But the thing that really, really made, I think, notice is the LPGA getting recognized, all of its past champions and ladies that have built that golf for ladies, and it's really getting good. And so the last 13 founders of the LPGA are being inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame, which is really the great story, and I'm proud of the committee to recognize those. And Sandra Palmer was one of the ladies.
Beverly Hansen.
She's got a great story. Went on to teach for 30 years at a course in Palm Springs at El Dorado. So it's a great class, and sure there's some people they might have missed, but they'll get him in two more years.
Educate me on Johnny Farrell, Charlie.
Johnny Farrell, he was a great player. He won a couple majors. He was the pro at Baltusrol, I believe, during when he was a touring professional, but a good player, yeah.
1-800-224-2004 is the number. Of course, we were talking about the new Hall of Fame inductees there, and looking over at the Players' Championship on the other side, we'll give you some picks and predictions heading into the weekend. Adam Svensson leads the way. The Canadian, Scottie Scheffler, the Masters champ, only one shot back. All right, we'll be right back right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5. Presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Back after this.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Hi, powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome aboard Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on Sportsman Radio Network and ESPN 97.5 Houston. Moving right along here, of course, Adam Svensson leads the way at 9-under at the Players. If you're unfamiliar who Adam Svensson is, Canadian who won the RSM Classic at the end of the fall. Remember, our friend Cole Hammer was in contention there. Svensson ultimately took home the crown there at the RSM. But Scottie Scheffler not too far behind. Listen, Rahm is out of this tournament. He withdrew with an illness. That means Scottie Scheffler comes in second or wins this golf tournament. He's back to world number one.
Beautiful.
Before we keep rolling on golf, I got to tell you about my new friends over at Brookside Equipment. Adam and Tom Belemowitz, great people. They own 9 Houston locations. It is the premier dealership for all John Deere equipment in Houston. Their trusted clients are Houston Country Club, the Great Whispering Pines Golf Club, number one golf course in Texas, and, of course, Memorial Park Golf Club, home of the Houston Open. They have new inventory, pre-owned inventory, 9 premier locations, Houston, Spring, Jersey Village, League City, Katy, Southwest Houston, Angleton, Hockley, and Conroe. They have a great rodeo special going on. Do me a favor, go see my friends at Brookside Equipment and tell them you heard us right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Charlie?
That's it. Nice people. Welcome to the show. They're family business, and if you need your grass to get cut, no better place to go buy a John Deere mower.
Now, Charlie, we were playing golf with Adam yesterday, great friend, great guy, and you were working on the grip a little bit.
Yes.
Explain what you were seeing there and how the listener at home can implement the same thing.
Well, you know, the big influencer on the direction of the golf ball is the way the club face is pointing at impact. And the club face at impact is controlled by your hands, your grip, the way you place your hands on it. Jim Flick had a great saying, we got to train our hands, wrists, and arms to swing the club. And as you swing the club, your arm acts like an axle of your car. It's rotating, and it's got to rotate from right to left, squaring the face up. That is if you're a right-handed golfer. So you got to get a squared impact, and you start with getting your hands on the club correctly. Not only the placement of the hands, but also the grip pressure. He was holding on to the club face so tightly that he couldn't let the club face square up at impact. So work on your grip, work on your grip pressure, and I guarantee you, you'll start hitting more straighter shots, and you'll save balls from going in the water.
On that note, grip pressure, Charlie.
Yes.
I noticed different players. Stacey Lewis says over when she's putting, her grip pressure is a 2 out of 10. I've heard some pros say it's around 5. How the grip for the listener at home?
Well, once again, it's a putt is a very delicate movement with a heavy club, and the golf ball only weighs 1.68 ounces. So, you know, Ben Crenshaw always said, don't let there be a sense of hurry in the swing, in the putting stroke. It's smooth, it's delicate, and let the ball roll. The ball is designed to roll. You don't have to hit the ball. You stroke the ball. So that happens when the grip pressure is light and you're not holding on for dear life. So pressure, grip pressure, softly.
Soft hands.
Soft hands.
1-800-224-2004 is the number. I know no one's heard of Chad Ramey, but he led the way. Chad Ramey led the way after round one.
Boy, did he.
And then, you know, he's got Ryan Goble on the bag. That's Will Zalatoris' former caddy. And then, you know, this golf course can get you a second round. He gets to 17. Everything's, you know, going smooth, and he makes a quad on 17, Charlie.
Well, think about
playing
this.
Playing 145 back pin yesterday.
Think about this. He really was playing very, very well. He had the ultimate of confidence. And you walk up to that green, which all you see is water, and you have too much confidence, it's going to happen. You've got to respect it. It's not that you want to run a little scared, but that's a green where you want to hit it to the middle of the green. It's not but 150 yards long. It's 130 yards to the front of the green, and and you know hit a shot of 140, and it's an uphill shot and it'll stop the ball, but he flew it on top. Bad mistake, and ends up making a quadruple bogey. Respect is the name of the game. Sometimes you got to be, you know, really conservative in your strategies. And there's four or five shots a hole for these great players that they have to do that. And he just showed that he just didn't have enough experience in that environment.
Championship golf, because just to give fans an idea of the difference between this week and a regular PGA Tour event, Chad Ramey, 30-year-old from Mississippi, won his first PGA Tour event last year at Corrales, which is in 2 weeks.
You're right.
And Charlie, you know what the winning check was for that? Just over $600,000.
$600,000, chump change.
So he opens with 64 on Thursday, and you know, probably feeling himself a little bit too much on Friday, gets a little too confident. But at the same time, you just make one small mistake around this golf course, it can all be over. It's amazing to look at the list of Players Champions who have won this golf tournament more than once. Of course, we just talked to one in Steve Elkington. In case you missed that, you can find the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts. Jack won this three times, Charlie. Tiger Woods won this twice, 2001 and 2013. Davis Love won this twice. Hal Sutton, who we had on this week last year, won this twice. And then, of course, your good friend Freddie Boom Boom. Freddie Couples won this twice as well.
That's exactly right. Cougars.
Pretty elite list.
How about the Cougars? Let's take a minute for hometown Cougars. Number one seed? Huh?
Number one seed.
In basketball?
Final Four is going to be in Houston this year.
And Jim Nance is going to be, it's going to be
Jim
incredible.
Jim Nance will be on the call. You know, looking back, this will be his last year doing the Final Four. And what's amazing is looking back to 1983 when NC State, Jim Valvano's...
Oh, don't say that.
NC State team.
That's a nightmare.
When they beat U of H, Jim was first year out of college just in the stands watching. He hops on the team bus. I guess you could do this back then. If you were in the communications program for a school, he said, I just hopped on the team bus, said, you know, I'm doing some coverage for the game, and then he sat one row below the press box. You couldn't do that now. Anyways, I think they're going to make a big run. Listen, Alabama's team, I know they've got some trouble going on, but that is a team right there. Coach Oates.
Why'd you bring up North Carolina
Brandon
State?
Brandon Miller. Well, you know, I don't think any upset. I think they're well got Marcus Sasser, you know, great player.
You're a Houston kid. That was devastating.
I don't remember that.
I still haven't recovered.
It was 15 years before I was... Before I was alive, but I've heard plenty about it. Jim has told me all about it. We'll have to get him on the show here in a couple of weeks. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Charlie, we can't go through this whole show without, bringing up, listen, Tiger is not on property this week at the Players. He's hurt. Had a little bit of drama going on this week. You know, a little bit of baby mama drama with the girlfriend, Erica Herman. He's been with her for 6 years. We've seen her at Ryder Cups. We've seen him at, multiple events. And, they've broken up, and it's not ending that well, Charlie.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Show, not E.T.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's Tiger, Charlie. It's Tiger. You can't just breeze over Tiger. I mean, he's obviously got some stuff going on. He's got NDAs flying around everywhere, and it's a mess.
A mess.
1-800-224-2004 is the number. Let me tell you about my friends over at the Swing Sound Golf app. Okay, and the Swing Sound app has helped me so much, you know, here over the last 6 months. One thing that all amateurs and weekend golfers struggle with is consistent rhythm and tempo in their golf swing. You either swing the club too slow or too quick, especially under pressure when you have a big putt to win your weekend skins game or a late afternoon match against a buddy. And what Marius Filmotter, the founder of Swing Sound Golf, has figured out is that almost all bad golf shots are caused by bad tempo, because study results show that all good golfers share a common and consistent rhythm when they swing the club. Driver, irons, putter, good shots are a product of good rhythm. Now, with the help of some of the best sound engineers around the world, Marius Filmotter has developed the Swing Sound app, which plays a consistent rhythmic sound that will help establish your swing tempo. Go find it on the App Store or Google Play for only $4.99. That is the Swing Sound app. Charlie, what a show today. Who do you have to win the Players?
Scotty.
You have Scotty Scheffler. You know, I can't pick Scotty, too. I'm going Jason Day. He's five shots back heading into the weekend.
Good
going
luck.
To Aussie Jason Day. Okay. We'll see you next week for the Valspar. Right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, Sports Map Radio, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans Ride Free, Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.